Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast, Thoughts Thoughts. You get my sexy, cold, congested voice today. I apologize for any coughing or nasal drip that you might sense in my voice. It's because I have COVID. Just kidding. Fake news. I have not been tested, so I don't know if I do have it or not, but I highly doubt it. I think I just have a little seasonal cold. So anyways, I'm not feeling 100%, but I wanted to jump on today because it's been a minute since I've posted an episode on here. I've been busy posting on my other podcast, Fala Dorotea, which is all in Portuguese. But man, I was thinking, man, when was the last time I posted on Dots Thoughts? And I logged in today and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was pre-election, which was, wow, over a month ago now. I don't really want to cover politics today because, I mean, I have a lot to say, but I just don't feel like it's necessary to comment at this point. And I think we're all kind of sick of hearing about politics and the news and all that. So let's just skip that and go right to the juicy stuff of what's going on in our lives, what's been happening in my life, what's going on. I posted a video recently on my YouTube channel. It's all in Portuguese, and I promised subtitles, which I have not delivered yet. Ah, guys, oh my gosh. YouTube has been giving me some issues recently because they redid how you add subtitles on the back end on your YouTube account. And so anyways, I was having some technical difficulties and it's kind of a pain in the ass anyways, trying to get subtitles up either in Portuguese or English, in any language. It's just a pain. So I figured, well, why not just give you guys an update, basically say all the same things that I said in that video, but in a podcast episode, and say it how I really want to say it in English. So that's what this episode's going to be about. A lot of things have been happening in our lives the last 2 weeks or so. We are not in Louisiana anymore, if you can believe that. I can hardly believe it, but we left Louisiana very abruptly, like one day to the next. It was like, yeah, we're here, we're living here, you know, indefinitely. And then the next day it was like, can't get out fast enough. So what happened? What made that radical life change decision happen and manifest so quickly? A lot of things, actually. And I really think it's been brewing on both of our minds, both Ben and I, for a long time now. Like, looking back, I feel like it, a part of my subconscious, I was in denial because we'd invested so much in this house, in the renovations and everything that we've been doing, and putting so much blood, sweat, and tears, not to mention money and time and, you know, physical effort and sacrifices to make this dream a reality for us, to have this property, which we never owned, we never bought. We were always renting the land, which the trailer happened to be sitting on, but we renovated the whole thing. We made it from livable, totally unlivable, to not only livable, habitable, inhabitable to habitable, in a pretty short amount of time. And we're really proud of the work that we put in. And it wasn't completed totally. Like, the floors was the main thing that we still hadn't done. It was still OSB, like, plank flooring. But I'm actually really glad we didn't do that now, because obviously we've left, and indefinitely so. We don't plan on going back, which is crazy. It's like, what? You guys did all of that work and now you're just like, you just up and left? Like, why? Okay, let me explain. First of all, Louisiana was never our final destination. It was kind of our refuge, really, for lack of a better word. It was our refuge place during COVID, because we'd met in Miami, or South Florida, really. We met in Florida about a year ago. And last March, when the first lockdowns and everything were happening, the whole world was going a little crazy, especially in Florida, where, you know, they don't get as many truckers and, you know, people refilling and restocking the stores. And so the stores were completely empty, which I think was a national problem. But I'm really, like, South Florida was chaotic. And Ben, who works in carpentry and construction, he at the time was doing maintenance, home maintenance for people, for this guy, these two brothers who had various different apartment complexes and such. So these problems that people were having where they needed, you know, a plumber or an electrician or whatever, that, you know, Ben is a man of many talents and he would go in and fix whatever needed fixing. All of a sudden overnight, it was like he couldn't even go into their homes because of COVID and the restrictions there. So he was without a job. Because of that, we decided to move quite suddenly to Louisiana. Louisiana being the place that made the most sense at the time, because that's where he's from. That's where he knew he had guaranteed work. He had people, family, all of that. And so we were like, yeah, okay, let's go. So we moved to Louisiana. We rented an apartment for a few months in Shreveport, northwestern corner of Louisiana. And then we found the trailer, which we've been renovating, like I said. And during all of this time, you know, we were there for a total of about 9 months. And Ben was always between jobs. Like, he always had a job. There's always work for him. You know, there's always construction. There's always people renovating and building. That wasn't the problem. But the problem was, and he warned me of this before we ever got to Louisiana. He was like, listen, you have to understand, people in Louisiana are like a different breed. Like, they're just different, you know? Like, there's a lot of, how do I say this kindly? Like, I want to tread lightly because I don't want to assume that the whole state is like this, because I really only know that one area where we lived. But he described it before we even got there as people being really two-faced and really cutthroat, especially in his industry, where they'll basically say and do whatever it takes to get ahead. Excuse me. He gave me a couple other, you know, warnings about this place where we were going, because I had never been to Louisiana. It was one place where I had never been. So it was the first time for me. I took everything he said with a grain of salt, because I wanted to believe that this was our place, that we were going to settle down, that, you know, we were going to be happy there and stay there for a while at least. And, you know, 9 months is a while, but it's not really that long. I had higher hopes for us staying there longer, but I wanted to give it a chance. You know, I wanted to go in there without any preconceived notions of what to expect or what it was like. But lo and behold, Ben was right. he was not lying or exaggerating at all. Come to find out, you know, all of these different jobs that he's had during our 9 months in Louisiana. Excuse me. A lot of them didn't pan out as expected. A lot of people didn't pay, or they underpaid, or it was just a mess. Like, really frustrating to try and work with people. And a lot of the times, more often than not, Ben just kind of had to bounce. Like, he would just say, okay, I'm done. Like, goodbye. Like, it's not even worth the headache of working with these people who are so frustrating. So frustrating to work with. And I'm not saying that as like a whole of the population where we were. I'm really just saying that in terms of the line of work that he's in and the people who he was working for and some of his coworkers. In general, I found the people in Louisiana to be very friendly and very conversational, very open, very hospitable. But yes, also very two-faced in the way of like lots of gossip, lots of people talking about you behind your back, everyone wanting a piece of your life and wanting to know, like, what's your plans? What are you doing? Da, 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 da. And if need be, making up false rumors about you and what you're doing and what you're about and everything. And me being an outsider, I had these like innocent eyes of like, oh, it's a happy place with rainbows and butterflies. But it really, like, it was not everything that I went into it expecting. So anyways, I don't want to make it sound like it's this horrible place, because it really wasn't. It served its purpose for us. I learned a lot about Ben by being there. You know, it's his hometown. It's where he's from. And I met a lot of the people who've influenced him in his life, and a lot of family, a lot of important people that I think I needed to know and learn about to understand him better. And it's over now. We've moved on. What happened? Oh my gosh. Dorothea, what happened? Okay, so without going into too many details, basically something happened the Friday after Thanksgiving. So I guess Black Friday, if you will. We had some friends over. This was another thing. And again, I feel so like innocent and kind of blind to the real world aspect sometimes. Like even as much as I've traveled and as much as I've seen and experienced, I'm like a forever optimist. If you haven't caught on to that yet on my podcast, I like to see the best in people and hope for the best. And I'm to the point of like, it's kind of my downfall. Like sometimes I don't see, I'm blinded to the faults that people have. And especially when it comes to drug abuse, which is rampant, let me tell you, rampant in Louisiana for a lot of reasons. And I'm not even going to go into that, the politics of how things work there. But basically, the drug of choice there is meth. And it's, you know, it's an old stereotype that, you know, the rednecks are all hooked on meth and blah, 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 like crystal and all of this stuff. And, you know, it's a stereotype. Stereotypes exist for a reason. I hate to say it, but they're kind of true. It's kind of true, right? Like it's based on some real life experience of real, like people really getting hooked on these drugs. And it's not just meth. There's other drugs involved too, but that's seems to be the drug of choice. And as much as I've lived in the favela and been surrounded by drug dealers and seen drugs, you know, firsthand, and I feel like I've been around the block, if you will, but only in when it's in concern, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, guys. My English is so bad today. I've just been recording all these stories on my Instagram in Portuguese. So my head is kind of swirling right now with languages. But what I'm trying to say is I have kind of this silver lining view of the world to begin with because of my upbringing. I was brought up in a very religious household. It was kind of sheltered from the real world of drugs and drug use and what it does to people and how it ruins lives. When I broke free of that, yeah, sure, I traveled. I've been around the block. I've seen a lot. I've lived in the favela. I've been in the slum. I've seen, heard, and dealt with a lot of people who have been addicted to various substances. But when it comes to meth, it's a special type of vice, if you will. Like it really messes you up in a different way. And I saw it firsthand for the first time in my life in Louisiana. And a lot of people, unfortunately, that Ben knows that he's grown up with, that, you know, he's connected with, are on dope. Like they're messed up, and it kind of fries your brain. And even if they're sober, there's always like this looming possibility that like they could still, I don't know, have a break, you know, like take the drug all out of nowhere and like default back to how they used to be. And so anyways, I would say meth and prescription drugs are the two most prevalent issues in that area. And I saw it firsthand, like, and a lot of people who would come over to our house, we would have to like basically kick them out and be like, don't come back. And not even sugarcoat it, not be like, not trying to be polite or anything, just be like, get the out of this house, like, get out. We don't want you here. Like, this is not what we want. Like, neither Ben nor I partake in those substances, and we just had no interest in it. So what happened? On Black Friday, there was some people over the house. They may or may not have been high. I'm not really sure. I don't really know, but there was some drama. And I just had it. Like, I just really, Ben and I got in a big fight about it, but I just, it was really over some petty things, but I had been drinking. Okay. I'll admit that. And so I was not totally sober, but, I just was like sitting, I felt like I was watching this scene unfold in my own front yard. 'Cause we had a big fire going, and I was trying to enjoy myself. Max had long been asleep, so Max was out of the picture. I apologize. I got a phone call. Got interrupted. Anyways, like I was saying, I was just sitting there at night, drinking, trying to enjoy myself, and just watching this ridiculousness unfold before my eyes. And I think Ben could sense that I was uncomfortable, but it just escalated to the point where I was like, Ben, what, like, what is going on? Like, I can't do this anymore. I basically told him, like, either we're out of here, like, we're leaving, like, for real. Like, I'm not saying, like, let's plan on leaving, let's do, like, no, we're leaving, like, today, or I'm leaving. I'm taking my son with me, and we're leaving. So, I actually had to go spend the night in a hotel, and I took Max with me, because I literally could not even stand to be in the same area of everything that was going on. And I want to be really clear that, like, I've said this already, but Ben and I are not drug users. And so it was not about, like, oh, Ben's on drugs. I don't want you guys to think that this was an issue of, like, between me and Ben, of, like, him being on drugs and me not, or vice versa. Like, it wasn't that at all. I had just had it up to here with, like, the bullshit. And I knew he felt the same way, but that particular night, I couldn't do it anymore. I really couldn't. And I couldn't even stand to be around those people or in my own house. Like, I didn't feel comfortable. You know, when it gets to the point where you can't even be in your own house, in your own sanctuary, in your own space that you've created, it's bad. Like, it's not a good thing. So I spent the night in a hotel, if only to send a message to Ben that, like, this is serious, you know? And when I came back the next day, we mutually decided that we'd had it and we needed to leave. And of course I wanted to just pack up the car and literally just get out of Dodge, like, now, but I had to be responsible and think, like, okay, wait. We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of collateral and stuff that we can sell, and we don't have a lot of money at that exact moment, you know? And so, I received my paychecks monthly, and I hadn't received my paycheck yet. And so my bank account was running dry. He hadn't been able to work or hadn't been paid for his work in far too long. And so the responsible thing to do, which we did, was to spend an entire day and take pictures and post everything on Facebook Marketplace, sell everything as fast as we could. We sold, like, 2 cords of wood, like, tons of, we had been cutting wood for weeks now. So we had tons of firewood. His old van that he'd been working on, which was really sad to see go, because it was, I don't know, it's like, you can't help but think that was wasted time and effort, but whatever, it is what it is. He sold his van, we sold the bed, we sold nightstands, we sold the refrigerator, like, everything, the futon, the dresser, the table, like, every single thing we possibly could, TV, computer, so much stuff. And we packed up what we could, and we left a lot, and we gave a lot of food to my neighbor so that it wouldn't go to waste. And the next day, we got out of town. We literally just bounced that quick. And it was the best feeling, guys. It was such a relief to get out. Like, and I know this sounds like it's so random. Like, what? Like, you just hit, like, a fever pitch and you just decided to leave? No, okay, let me explain. We'd been talking about leaving for months, but both of us, really me, I'm going to take the blame here, because Ben and I are both very flexible people. Like, we're both the type of people to get up and leave and just do whatever we need to do, whatever's in our best interest at any given time. But me transitioning to being a mother, like, I have to think not just for myself, but for another human being. And I know Ben is included in that too, but I don't know. I just had grown attached, even with all the problems and everything, I'd grown attached to Louisiana, and I'd grown attached to this house and all the effort and everything we've put into it. And I was always making excuses whenever we were talking about leaving previously. We always talked about Colorado as a destination for a lot of reasons, which I'll explain. But whenever we thought about it, I was like, oh, we have too much stuff. Oh, we don't have enough money saved. Like, let's wait till we have X amount of money in the bank. Oh, let's wait. Like, it's November. Let's wait until, you know, spring. You know, it doesn't make sense to move to Colorado in the winter. Like, why would we do that? Oh, my car's having problems. Oh, you know, like there's a million and one excuses of why we shouldn't leave. When really in the back of my head, this whole time it was brewing, like, get out, get out, get out, leave, leave. It's time. It's time. And finally it just happened. Like, it just literally, like, a wave came crashing down on us and it was a sign or whatever you want to call it. But it was just like, it's time. And I said this in my video in Portuguese, but, I want to explain it because I think it's important to know, like, you know, a lot of people say, and I've found this to be true, that wherever you go, there's going to be problems. Nowhere is perfect. You know, there's always pros and cons to everywhere. Even if you have this like glossy idea of, like, I don't know, this beach paradise is being perfect. Like, there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be hiccups and problems, drama, whatever. It's always going to expose itself at some point. And if you have depression or if you have, you know, internal issues that are going on, that's also not going to be cured if you switch locations. Yes, there might be some pros to moving to a sunny area if you're, you know, living in Alaska and you have seasonal depression. But, like, you know, that only goes so far to treat the underlying symptoms of what's really going on. In our case, what was going on was all around us. It was like we were in the eye of a storm and everyone else was just invading us with, like, their problems and their addictions and their issues and their, like, two-facedness of, like, saying they're going to pay and they're not going to pay for this job, or saying we got this, we can help you here, and then never showing up, or, you know? And as soon as we left Louisiana, like, literally just crossing the border into Arkansas, like 30 minutes away, just leaving the state, it felt like we were leaving that all behind. And of course we still have problems. Of course we still have to work on ourselves and on our relationship, and there's still stresses and, you know, whatever of every kind. But the bulk of what was weighing us down, we left behind us, and it just feels so good. Like, I can't explain, like, how much happier we are now to be out of that situation. And even though we took a hard hit, like, we did not sell everything for their value, you know, we took a hit with the stuff that we left behind. We took a hit with how much we'd invested in the property, and all of these things you could say was, like, maybe irresponsible or dumb of us to just leave like that, how we did in such a fury. But it was worth it. It was worth it, if only to have the peace of mind that we have now. So where are you? Where are you, Dot, now? Like, what the heck? You're in Colorado? No, we're not in Colorado yet. We're actually in Iowa, which is really random. Not so random, I guess, but it's not where I'm from, but it's where my parents live. And my parents just bought a house. They're selling their other house in another city, and they're moving to another city, 3 hours west, close to Illinois, where my dad is working as a teacher. And so they've been doing this, like, long distance thing of, like, going back and forth for the last year and a half. And finally they decided, like, let's just buy a house. Excuse me. So they bought this house. It was built in the 50s. It's got lots of, issues, things that need modernizing and updating. And so, of course, Ben, being the professional that he is, has volunteered his services. And, well, of course, they're going to pay him, but, you know, it's a good deal between them giving us a place to live and supporting us and paying Ben, of course, for his services, but them getting a good deal, much better deal than what they would if they went through a subcontractor in the area. So it's a win-win for us. And we get to visit family. I always joke that I can only handle so much of my family. That sounds really bad, but, like, my family and I have a complicated relationship, and I love them. And ever since I had Max, things have been on the upswing. Like, they're much more understanding, and much more forgiving of my lifestyle, which they don't agree with. They're very religious, like I said, and I'm not anymore. And so there's some conflict there, but we've learned to, you know, set our differences aside and come together. But at the same time, I can only tolerate so much family time at once. So it's kind of nice that we have our own space right here. We have our own apartment. It's a block away from where they live, but we have our own privacy, which is important to me. And we're planning on staying here until Christmas, because what's the point of leaving before this big family holiday? And so we're all going to be together for Christmas, which I'm excited for. I'm excited for Max to be around cousins and have people to play with and, you know, more eyes to watch him. It's going to be really good. And come January, we are going to probably get out again and go to Colorado. Maybe wait till February. We haven't really decided yet. We're going to play it by ear. You know, my mom always says, cross that bridge when you come to it. So we're going to cross that bridge when we come to it. We have not come to it yet. So we'll decide when the time comes what our next move will be. Well, we're pretty decided that we're going to be going to Colorado, but we just don't know when. Most likely January, possibly February. But anyways, yeah, going to Colorado. Where in Colorado, Dot? Well, we haven't really decided that either. We're thinking about like Colorado Springs area, like in that general area, maybe a suburb, some smaller town outside of the Springs, but southern half of Colorado. It's a slightly more temperate climate. You're not so much in the Rockies. Like, you're close to the Rockies, but you're not totally, like, you're not a mile high, like in Denver or something. So, more mild overall climate and area. And Ben has some connections there, a couple people that he knows, jobs, opportunities. The economy is a lot better there. The scenery, gorgeous. Like, I mean, there's just so many pros that we see to moving there. And obviously there's going to be cons as well, but we're ready to face that. We're ready to face the unknown and just kind of march forward and trailblaze, really, and just go for it. We have talked extensively about building our own house and making it ours, you know, from the ground up, and having it, you know, all the details of like the floor plan and everything that we want. I personally, my only request is that we live close or on a body of water. I don't care if it's a lake or a pond or a river, or I don't care what it is, but I just really like the water. So I'd like to have that in my backyard if possible. Colorado is also appealing because it's one of the last states with homesteading laws, which is where I don't know a whole lot about it, but basically the gist of it is that you can set up camp somewhere that's, as long as it's not owned by anyone, it's kind of uninhabited land. If you move in and improve upon the land in some way, shape, or form, excuse me, then you can, after a certain period of time, claim it as your own. I believe Colorado, Alaska, maybe Montana, a few other states have this law. It was a motivational factor in getting people to settle down in these less inhabited areas of the United States. So there's a lot of uninhabited areas of Colorado. So we really want to take advantage of that if possible. That's a possibility. I don't know what's going to happen there. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting. And you know what? I feel like when I'm on the move, I feel like I'm in my element. Like, this is kind of where I get my best thinking done, my best work done, my best introspective thought processes, like everything. I feel like I'm made for this kind of lifestyle of like on the go, you know? And that's not to say I don't want to settle down. I do want to settle down. I do want to have a home base and be able to come back to one place and like, goodness me, I'm sorry. You know, have my own sanctuary and that would be awesome, you know? And that's what I thought I was creating. But I think I was in denial about that with Louisiana. It wasn't our ultimate resting place, you know? It wasn't our final destination, as I said. So on to Colorado it is, on to try out new life experiences and see what it has to hold for us. And wish us luck. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be hugely disappointing and we'll be on to the next place. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be everything we've ever dreamed of. I don't know. I heard a really good quote the other day from another podcast that I listened to. And the podcast is called Awaken with JP. If you guys don't know who he is, he's this very comedic redhead guy who talks a lot about, well, recently he's been talking a lot about COVID and kind of making satire comedic skits about what the media says versus what's happening versus the CDC versus all that stuff. But he has a lot of other really great content if you're not into that controversial stuff. He talks a lot about spirituality and he makes a lot of jokes about everyone. Like no one is too sacred. No subject is too sacred for him. So I really like his sense of humor. And he has this podcast called Awaken with JP. And he said something there. He was quoting in a book. So I'm trying to like source what I'm about to say because I don't want to take credit for it. So basically I got it from this podcast, but he got it from a book that he read, which I don't remember the name, but just so you know, if you want to find the source, that's where I got it. But basically what he said was, or what the quote said was, I don't know where I'm going, but I know how to get there. I don't know where I'm going, but I know how to get there. I love that. I feel like that really embodies my life purpose. Like you ask me what my life purpose is or what am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Don't have an answer. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where my final destination is. But I know how to get there. You know, I know what feels right. I know every single move I make, every decision I make, everything. I can feel internally if that's getting me closer or pushing me further away from wherever I'm going, which again, it sounds crazy, but illogically, it still makes sense to me. Like it sounds illogic, but it's actually quite sensible to me to think like that because that's how I've lived my life, like in its entirety, but especially in the last 5 to 10 years, like just going with the flow. And right now the flow is, you know, pushing us in a different direction than what we originally thought even just a month ago. But we're going with it and we're going to see where it takes us. So it's exciting. It's thrilling. It's nerve wracking. It's a lot of things, but I'm really excited to be doing it. I'm really excited to have Ben supporting me and me supporting Ben, to be, you know, raising my child in this environment, which some would say is way too stressful. And what are you doing? You should have a steady place to raise your child. I don't know. People have a million ways to criticize how you parent, but I'll just say this, like my son has only known my lifestyle being what it is, on the move all the time, never really settling in one place for too long. It's all he's known. I think he enjoys it from what I can gather. I still work really hard on maintaining a routine with him, like day to day of like nap time and eating time and playing and, you know, the important consistencies that he needs to grow and develop. But as far as getting out and traveling and doing what I'm going to do, like having a child doesn't have to slow you down. That was really frustrating for me when, you know, people would tell you, they will tell you if you're pregnant and they love to tell you afterwards, like, oh, after you have a child, everything changes and everything, you know, you can't travel anymore. And like people love to, put their assumptions on what it means to be a parent. And let me just say, having a child is no excuse not to travel. I am a strong believer of that. And I know plenty of parents like me who were travel lovers before they ever became parents, and they still make an effort and they still do it and they make it work. Yes, there's more sacrifices. Yes, there's more challenges. Yes, it's harder. Yes, it's more expensive. Yes, no doubt. I'm not denying any of that. But is it impossible? Absolutely not. And I think, I really believe that in some ways it's actually adding and enriching the development of, in my case, my son. But I mean, some might argue not, but I really believe, I mean, I wouldn't be doing anything unless I thought it was in the best service of all of us. You know, I'm not just doing this selfishly. I'm doing it thinking of all of us. And yeah, live and let live, guys. Let's not criticize everyone. Everyone has their own way of living. And I enjoy my way. And you know what? It's my life. So I can do whatever I want. It's great, isn't it? Yeah, I do consider my son's well-being, of course, duh. And that's definitely a huge factor in all of these decisions. But that is actually a motivation for us to get out and really be doing the best that we can in life and not settling for some place just because it's comfortable or just because we've invested in it or just because it just seems like, I don't know, like getting out is too much. Like, no, get out of your comfort zone, take the risk, book the flight, whatever it is, you know, and just do it. So I hope I've been able to inspire you guys today, giving you an update and also inspire you at the same time of what's going on. Everything's good. I'm recovering from this cold. I know it sounds kind of bad, but I actually am feeling much better today. And all is well. Thanks so much for listening. And I hope you guys enjoyed. I'll catch you on the flip side, and hopefully I won't have quite as many life updates the next time around. So anyways, much more to come. Stay tuned for more, and I'll catch you guys later. Bye.